Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. To rise up everybody and burn down the system, pay up the exit pool. Wake up the silence,
and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 68, and it's going to be absolutely insane, no holds barred, with Michael West. I mean, what more can you ask for? Michael, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, man, it's crazy. The day was slammed, and, yeah, I got in a, you're catching me in a zone here because I've done some, you know, my heavy Krav Maga and kettlebell work, and so physically I'm kind of like in that zen mode, and I've got a new bottle of bourbon, and I've got you on the air with me, and I mean, it's all the conditions are right for insanity, so yeah.
Oh,
it's,
good.
It's crazy. But no, I'm
awesome.
Good, don't worry. I said the bourbon has not been opened yet, so I have not been drinking
okay.
it yet.
All right.
But oh man, this is gonna be a fun show. I've been actually looking forward to this one because you and I have not done an open line in a while, and just free form show. And we had the bar raised high to hit because 2 weeks ago Sayla and Alex did a similar thing, and they really rocked it. So we got our work cut out for us tonight.
I think you and I can rise to the challenge.
I think we can. Alex and of course the famous red haired warrior. They're quite a tandem, but we'll give them a run for their money. So,
well, I'm just excited that Ghost took home a Grammy for best heavy metal performance.
That was cool. I mean, my heart kind of tugged for Seven Dust. I will say that because, God, it's one of the hardest working heavy metal bands of all time in terms of, like you know, they're just absolute road warriors, and year in, year out release, you know, pretty steady, consistent albums. And, you know, it'd be nice to see them get, like, the big recognition, but at least, you know, at least it wasn't like Jethro Tull or Tenacious D winning the Grammy. For best metal.
Oh, man,
at least we got legitimate winner, so I felt good about that. God,
yeah.
I thought when it took
you
to metal, though, you were going to go off about Disturbed and Breaking Benjamin, Saint Asoni, and Alter Bridge tour. It's going to be hitting
indie.
Oh,
God, when they announced that, I usually do listen to Octane in the morning, the guys came on Octane and you know, live announced that it was happening, and I'm like going, oh God, please let it be coming to Indiana. And then about that time, my son, you know, posted a link to their tour page that had the dates, and they're coming to Indianapolis, and I'm like going, this is my Father's Day gift from you.
Yes. Well, I don't blame you. I'm under death threats from my sister if I don't, like, get her a ticket. So it's a must-attend show for me. I have to either hit the indie show or the Cincy show. So,
you
ought
to come up to the indie show. We would have such a blast.
I would. And, it's too bad that our show budget for the Star Chamber show is tight. Otherwise, we should have, like, a Michael West contest for tickets to the show and hang out with Michael West kind of thing. City. We're not quite there yet.
Yeah. The Disturbed fans go to Disturbed with.
Yeah, see, our budget goes into things like this. They want the show budget.
You have, you have to have your priorities, you know.
Oh, God. But, yeah, that's going to be one heck of a show. The only thing I will slightly complain about is that I think Alter Bridge should be a triple headliner with Breaking Benjamin. And, you know, because I think, you know, that was kind of weird seeing them, like, lump in with Saint Asonia, you know, which, you know, Saint Asonia is great, but they are the new band. And, you know, and, like, I think Alter Bridge is definitely on the heavyweight level on sales and everything.
Yeah, well... Saint Asonia, I'm really interested to see just because, you know, it's kind of a modern super group, you know, so it'll be...
Oh, they're fantastic.
And I like everything I've heard from them so far, so it'll be interesting to see them live. And, you know, every time that 3 Days Grace came to town, I was there, so it'll be interesting to see him fronting the new band.
Yeah. No, I mean, that song "Better Place" is just amazing, and I think they're. Yeah, that's definitely a band I'd wanted to go see the Louder Than Live festival in Louisville so bad because of them, and you know, and I hated missing that one. And Seven Dust was even there too. I mean, they had loads of good bands.
It amazes me how much different Alter Bridge sounds from Creed. You know, just by having the different front man, you know, it's because it's everybody else in Alter Bridge is Creed, you know, and it's just interesting that I don't know if the band didn't have that much say in Creed or on there, but.
At least gives Miles Kennedy something to do while the Guns N' Roses reunion goes on. So that's
right,
good.
Right, right.
I do like his stuff with Slash. I think they make a great tandem together. Slash's solo stuff with him,
that last album they had was just amazing.
Yeah, and few people know that, there are a few people that do know, but Miles Kennedy is actually a fantastic guitar player. And it's one of the little known facts about him. And he's really a superb guitar player. But I think he's just a dynamite front man. And I think he does the GNR material a lot of justice if you listen to the live albums that Slash has put out, you know, with the Guns N' Roses material. I mean, so.
Right.
I hope, like I said, I know GNR is the big ticket item, but definitely hope Slash, you know, continues the pace with getting solo albums out because his stuff is so good. Love the solo stuff. But Disturbed is going to put on like a big show. I read that they're putting on like this massive theatrical show.
You know, and this will be my first time actually seeing them live.
No way. No way.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
they need to bring
medical staff
to the show with us. Then my sister will be valuable because she's an RN. My sister will be valuable.
Right. Well, it's just that was what pissed me off more than anything else when they went on hiatus was the fact that I never got to see them live, so I'm really, really excited.
Well, maybe David Draymond secretly a big fan of your books and put things back together just so he can get out there and play for you.
Well, that would be cool.
That's
because,
a real story.
Lord knows he's inspired most of them. So,
it is cool. Because I know you listen to them. While you work and stuff.
Yeah, and lately the new one, the cover that they do of The Sound of Silence.
That is so cool.
It's just so haunting, and. Because it's a different David Draymond. You haven't really heard him sing like this before. You know, it's really really controlled and low and melodic, and then when it gets toward the end and it just swells and it's just like, it just, oh, it just, it's really, really cool.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a great, great show. Yeah, so, yeah, there's a lot of good music on the horizon that we're going to look forward to here very soon. But
and on the, well, it's like when I'm not listening to we talk about, you know, one of the things we were going to talk about tonight was our inspirations, which, you know, I guess we've kicked off the show with that.
Yeah. I think so.
One of my inspirations when I'm not listening to some heavier stuff is motion picture scores.
Yeah,
kind of alternate between the two. And I was very happy this week to I had pre-ordered and it had arrived the volume one of Mark Snow's scores for the X-Files.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it's, like, cool. It's like a four CD limited edition set, and the music is just amazing. You know, especially, you know, the volume one has a lot of the early episodes, you know, season one, season two, and a lot of really creepy, moody stuff that's, you know, can't help but inspire.
Well, speaking of things that can't help but inspire, I will bring up the topic of snow snakes. As of yesterday, our good friend, the Colonel, also known as, the Jarl, also known as by me as the Bomber, Eric Jude himself, unleashed a new 12-minute short film about snow snakes, and they are very creepy. And a good friend of mine, actually, her first response on seeing Eric's film, and I will read it verbatim, "Wow, that was indeed exciting. I was on the edge of my seat. Too funny. He's a trip." And that sums up the film very well, and it's got some Eric spared no expense on the CGI in it, which you have to check out yourself when you see this. And
okay.
But yeah, you did a new 12-minute short film about the legendary snow snakes of Breathitt County. And oh man, I watched it completely sober, of course, but I think that this is the kind of film that when you watch it after some adult beverages, that it could get really interesting. So it's trippy. It's a fun one. But yeah, that's a.
I will most definitely have to check that out.
After watching the movie, though, according to Eric, he describes the tracks of the snow snake, and I'm like, I saw those in Lexington after the last snow, so I guess we've got snow snakes here too. So, but yeah, because they make long parallel tracks, as you will find out in the film. So. Yeah, Eric definitely has been up to shenanigans with his new production gear out in the east there, but yeah, that has me inspired today. Yeah, that's my inspiration for the day, is the new Eric short film Snow Snake. It's awesome.
Well, I might have to I might have to get with Eric to work on some of the, you know, some book trailers, because that's one thing I've missed doing the last few novels. The production company I was working with for my book.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Very talented.
Yeah, they're very talented, but unfortunately they're in such demand all over the country right now that they don't have time for me. But, I would.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, Eric's wife, Kylie, I mean, she did the trailers for myself for Pete Welmer Inc., and she just knocks out of the park when it comes to, you know, real good cinematic kind of feel to the trailers and the music she does. I mean, she's just, like, ridiculously talented. I mean, she's a composer, she's a singer, she's also a filmmaker and everything else, and I mean, she actually did a lot of the camera work on Eric's new short film, and that went along with Rachel Jude. But Kylie does a phenomenal job with book trailers. So the Frozen Creek Studios folks do a really good job of that. So totally
very cool.
Encourage folks to use them. And Eric is the person that gave me my good friend that gave me the review said, he's a trip. And it's a one of a kind experience working with Eric and the gang. It's fun. And
awesome.
But yeah, I'll be working a lot with Eric myself, because It's finally here, Michael. We are moving forward to we'll hopefully get this a place for a pilot TV show for Rain Valkyrie to make an actual, hopefully demonstrate the viability of a Rain Valkyrie TV series. So we're going to get all that going in about 2 weeks. We're going to try to crowdfund a large percentage of that project. And, we're getting all everything in place. We've got two great artists. They're doing some original concept art, Jerome Sayers and Glenn Porzig. And you will recognize Glenn Porzig's name because he is the author of the Darkness Unbound stuff. Brink Stevens, the Scream Queen, just did a audiobook of his first one, and it made Fangoria. And but Glenn also happens to be an extremely talented artist, and he's actually doing a couple of Raiden sketches for me. And then also Jerome Sayers, who you'll be hearing, I think, a lot of, because this guy is insanely talented artist. And but they each are gracious enough to be doing two concept sketches a piece that are going to be unveiled one a week during the campaign. And Eric's going to be working on some of the video components of that, and should be an interesting campaign. And we hope that it'll eventually lead to a full TV series that'll be produced here in Kentucky, and that's the goal, and show off a lot of the beautiful Kentucky scenery, and hopefully and provide opportunities for Michael West cameos. I mean, that's our goal, get
Very
you
cool.
in there, man. Dress you up and take you. Well, I can't say medieval because this is like ancient world, but we'll take you at sword and sorcery, at least. We could go farther back. Well, I guess you could say you can go medieval. Yeah, but just about. But yeah, that's the awesome. That's the thing that had me hopping all day, because we finally are getting everything in place, as far as for that campaign, and it's gonna be a pretty interesting one. And I hope it leads to some doors opening to do other projects, and maybe, who knows, maybe it'll finally lead to the scenario where you can do like the Wide Game as a feature film. Who knows?
That's my dream right there, is to
it could happen.
Yeah, see Wide Game, some of the Shadows, or one of my Harmony books. The Harmony books would be a little easier to
they
do than the
well.
Legacy of the Gods. Right. Legacy of the Gods is too creature intensive, probably, for a small budget.
Yeah, you might need a couple bucks for that one.
Yeah.
But that's going to require a little special effect work for sure. Not to say the other ones wouldn't, but the scale definitely would be a little bit different. And you also would. And I know that you also have a little bit of an announcement. We have a reissue project coming up, and I'll let you take it. That's coming up that you actually have something in. So let's talk about this anthology project.
Oh, okay. Well, you would probably be the one to start that, and then I'll chime in, because I think you probably know more about all the particulars than I do.
I don't want to intrude on your spotlight here for the story there.
I'll start off with saying that I have a short story. It'll be the first new Michael West fiction that's come out in a little over a year, which I must apologize to my faithful readers for, but the Harmony books are very self-contained. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and there are threads that go through them, but it's not a continuous story, whereas the Legacy of the Gods, being a series in a more traditional sense and being one continuous story, is a lot more time intensive. It's required me to a lot more time than it takes to write a normal Harmony book. But I did find time to do a new short story called Ave Santani that will be appearing in a new anthology. It'll be a new story in a reissue anthology, I guess. I'll let you, Stephen, tell people more about the anthology as a whole.
Yes, I want to make sure you got the spotlight on your new short story there. But your story and Alexander S. Brown's new short story will be new additions to the reissue. So the reissue will have two new short stories, one by Michael West, one by Alexander S. Brown. But this is from L. Andrew Cooper and Pamela Turner. They are the editors on this project. And Real Bark originally was out with our friends at Black Worm, and Andrew needed to get it reissued, and so we agreed to do the reissue of it, and it's going to be a fantastic anthology that's going to be that kind of focuses on it's got stories, it's got poems, it's got good quality stuff. Bram Stoker Award finalists are in this thing, and it's got kind of like a cinematic. Each of the tying theme of it's got a cinematic kind of edge to it, it's got a movie kind of tied to everything.
Right, it's basically about the horrors in cinema affecting the real world in some way.
Yeah, and we're really stoked about this one, and it will be coming out in April. We got quite a bit going on. Leading up to a pretty cool convention in May, which we're hoping to talk about soon, and we hope to somehow cajole Michael into going to this one. But, we're very close to announcing something big with that convention, so I'll leave it at that. There's a teaser. But, we're really pretty stoked about that. And, we actually do have a caller. Yeah, this is a good one. The man who has brought the world the Snow Snakes and wrote and directed and produced this new short film, the Colonel himself, is joining us here on the Star Chamber Show. You're aboard, Bomber.
Snow snakes are deadly creatures. You must be careful in dealing with them. I just wanted to warn the world and show them how to deal with such creatures. How you doing?
Oh, your role was great in that. Oh my God, that was fantastic. I loved watching that. That was kind of like the surprise of the day when I got the news. You did it. You didn't even tell me you were doing a short film. You're really sneaky.
I didn't even know I was going to do it until that morning.
Yeah, you didn't even say a word to me until the dang thing was done. You're like, oh, I got this new short film I just did. Oh, well, thanks for telling me. I watched it immediately, and oh, man, it was fun. You even have CGI in it. That was very impressive.
That was crazy. It cost $12 million just for that scene.
Well, you spent a lot of money on ammo, too, because there's a real gunshot in it, too.
That was not foley.
That was a real gunshot. And if you listen real carefully, you hear a scream in the background, from whoever you hit.
Well, that's because Callie and Rachel didn't know what I was going to do either. So.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I saw that. That was, I saw Callie and Rachel were your camera crew on this one.
Well, the day before, I built this rig over the weekend. Been wanting a shoulder-mounted camera rig for a while, but, they're like $100 to $200, up to thousands of dollars. And I really didn't want to spend any money on it. So I started looking around, and I found a design somebody made on the internet, and I took it and made it my own and went and got the parts for it a while back, but it just really... not gotten around to put it together. So I put it together, and I was like, well, I gotta go test it. So the day before we did the snow snake thing, I was just out walking around and trying to get a use for the get a feel for the rig and for the audio system, the Zoom H6N. And I was behind the camera then, and so I got tired of packing the camera, so I handed it to Kylie, and she pointed at me, and I was like, well, what do I do? So I go into this improv nonsense about icicles and kind of make this character.
Oh, the snow pyres. Yep.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I really like that character, so the the night before last or whatever, I was sitting around and I was thinking, that was a 2-minute video I made. I'd like to make one that's like 10 or 15 minutes. So that's what the snow snakes started as. And I had no clue as to what I was going to do in the snow snake video. It was just point the camera at me and I'll make it up as I go.
Oh, it's awesome. And the funny thing is that I said this earlier, but I have seen those tracks in Lexington. I think we have snow snakes here as well, because I've seen those parallel tracks in the snow before. The ones that educated us on.
If you see a snowflake, a snow snake is not far behind.
Yeah, I know Michael. I keep dying to see the CGI in it, because I know Michael's big on special effects and horror films, so yeah, he's going to be watching.
Any day now, I'm waiting for the last-minute Oscar nomination for special effects. I'm fairly confident I'm going to win it, so...
Oh man, it's a fun one. Were you listening to the show when I gave that review that was sent in by a good friend of mine?
Yeah,
right away.
I heard that. That
was
cool.
Was officially your first review, I guess. Oh man, but I have to admit though, it was my one of my most liked tweets ever was the link I put out on your short film. So
it got
a little bit of a buzz out there. It was like double digits likes on a tweet, which is not, you know, like I said, I don't often get double digit likes on a tweet.
I've never.
That was a record holder. So there you go, Michael. If you want attention, then tweet about Eric and you'll get attention.
Okay.
Oh. I'll turn Michael over to you, Eric, because Michael has anything to grill you on. Oh, man.
So, hey.
Or not.
Hey, well, I haven't watched the short yet. I just found out about it, so I'll have to sit down and watch it.
It's on ericjude.com. It's like the last post on it. So it's to find 12 minutes of your life that you're willing to just throw away and never get back.
Okay. You're not really overselling this thing.
I had fun. Well, it's awful.
Well,
it's an awful 12 minutes. So if I let you know that, and there is at least one thing in it that you liked, you'll walk away happy.
Okay. All right.
Well the CGI sequence alone is worth it. I mean, that was awesome.
Well, it can't be any worse than Megapython versus Gatoroid or something like that. So.
Oh, God.
Somebody did tell me that they liked it better than the Blair Witch Project, so, you know.
It's a real character that you've got there, though. It is a real character you kind of introduced in Snowpiers, too. I mean, that was... I will neither confirm nor deny that I was relaxing a bit that night, so that was a really trippy one to watch. When you sent that one over, I'm glad you took another step with that. That's a cool character that you been coming up with there.
I'm thinking about going ahead and continuing on and like do these really weird and made up mythological creatures that he goes and hunts. He's kind of like a cross between the ghost hunters and Bear Grylls and these people that are like kind of fool themselves and
the destination truth.
Yeah, stuff like that and like, oh my God, look at that! Did you see it? No, you didn't. Oh, things like that.
If you need a Yeti expert, you got Michael West right there. He knows all about Yeti.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited because I'll be at Horror Hound here, and basically Horror Hound is 1 month from tomorrow, and I will actually get my Yeti action figure.
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah. So
that's
the,
awesome.
It's not officially, you know, Hades Disciples Legacy of the Gods action figure in you know, the people at Creature Replicas created a line of cryptids action figures, and you know, we were, when they were in the design phase and showing off some of the maquettes and whatnot, I was showing them some of the stuff for Hades Disciples, and you know, I was just amazed at how close their action figure came to what I was writing, as far as, you know, the look and the whole, you know, I mean, my Yetis actually use weapons, you know, they have like swords and primitive axes and whatnot, but this Yeti doesn't have that, but as far as the you know, the look of it, the feralness of it, they really captured that.
Well, we have a new caller coming in here, but I'm going to mention really quickly, you also, you know, speaking of conventions, you also have Lita Ford liking your T-shirts. I mean, that's, you definitely make impacts at these conventions with your stuff.
Winner.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that was a moment when Lita Ford called me, you know, looked at, I have a shirt that has artwork from some of my short stories, and gave Lita one, and she looked at it and says, you know, that is badass. You are a badass. And I'm like, okay, Lita
Hell
Ford,
yes.
Call me a badass.
Hell yes. We know that. Good she recognizes that. You're a badass.
So,
speaking of badasses,
yeah.
We are about to get insane on this show, because we have an absolutely wild and crazy caller. He's a fireball, as I call him. But he's a great author. He is the head of the Hydra Publications world. Tony Acree is on the line.
Woo-hoo. Hey, guys. So Tony, put me on to follow a future Academy Award winner. My goal is not quite so lofty. I'm after a Razzie Award, because usually some of my favorite actresses get those, and I hope to be able to meet them there. So my goal is a Razzie. I think I have great potential to make that dream come true.
Oh,
well,
man.
Tony, Steven said that you were the head of Hydra. Does that mean if, you know, you get cut down, that you know, three more grow back in your place?
I will tell you, there are a few people who hope that that's not true, but we don't really want to find out. So I'm happy the way I am, but it's hard. I'm like a bad penny, man. It's hard to get rid of me.
Well, on the other end of the spectrum, I usually end my conversations with Tony with a Hail Hydra kind of salutation.
Oh, yes.
If I had just patented that phrase years ago, think where I would be now. So...
Oh, man. Well, good to have you on the show, Tony. And, I know you've been, like, a bit busy as ever with both on the writing and publishing side and getting ready for events. And, you know, and I know that you're going to be talking a little bit about one in particular tonight, too.
I am. I'm very excited. I will be one of the 50-plus authors attending that Book Place Authors Fair. It takes place in Madison, Indiana on April 2nd and 3rd. It's always been a one-day event. It's run by the uber-talented Frank Hall. This year it's actually going to be a two-day event. And in addition to all the authors that show up, and, you know, we see Steve, my evil twin, Eric Beebe's usually there. You see all these wonderful, fantastic authors. But in addition to the 50-plus fabulous author, there's also going to be thousands of used books for sale. So, and the fact that it's going to be a two-day event this year, it gives you a chance both on Saturday and Sunday, April 2nd and 3rd, to come up. It is an absolute blast. The people that show up for this event, and this was my very first ever book signing, was at that author's fair 3 years ago. And this is where I met, you know, people like Steven and Brick Marlin, and I shared the table that day with the incredibly crazy Michael Williams as my very first table mate. So
awesome.
You know, I learned a lot from Michael just that day.
That was the big wind day, I think, when we were all outdoors battling wind.
Yeah.
That's where I actually outsmarted all you long-time people, because I actually tied my table down and then had a rope going underneath the table that I was holding on to for dear life as the 20 to 30-mile-an-hour winds whisked many a tent away. See, that's where it helps to outweigh what you're holding down. So, Stephen, you've lost so much weight and got into great shape. That will not work for you anymore. It still works for me.
Well, I know that weekend Michael and I were diving to tackle banners a lot that weekend.
Yeah.
I had heard about weights, but I didn't have any with me. So I just tied everything down to my chair and myself, and it managed to stay there. So, Frank, that's on a wonderful event. It is.
Yeah,
this year's going to be like last year. It's at the National Guard Armory. So the amount of wind, rain, snow will make no difference.
Great venue, too. Very very open, nice, comfortable venue with plenty of parking. Yeah,
I really like the venue. I have never seen a snow snake there, ever. So, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, you know?
We need to get Eric Jude at this thing with Kylie. My God, that would be such a blast. 2 days with the Judes at Authors Fair. That would be epic.
It would be. They're great folk, and I met them at the wonderful Imaginarium, of course, which we're looking forward to in October. So there's so many great events in the region that make it a great time to be an author in the Louisville, Lexington, Cincinnati area.
Yeah, I definitely hope we can get Erica, entice him to come on out for maybe one of these things. I'm trying to bug him for this May thing too. I'm just gonna, we're gonna have to capture him and just drag him to everything. But
I want you to know that I'm insanely curious about what this May thing is, Stephen. So you're gonna have to
drop that dime
sometime soon.
There's an AC/DC song called Sin City,
look,
and that'll give you a little hint about where it is, but I'm not going to tell you it much.
Well, look, right now it's just you, me, and Michael. If you were to let it slip right now, I mean, it's just us, bro. I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody except for everybody, but, you know, it's up to you.
Well, Eric's lurking here. He's been quiet and coy, but he's online right now with us.
It's the talented director.
I can tell you this. You want your Razzie, be in my next feature and you'll get it.
Well, dude, I am for hire. I play a lot of, I've got a wide range of acting abilities. I can play like the overweight elderly guy. I got that down pat. I can play Santa Claus. I can play evil Santa. I mean, you name it and I got it. So,
hey, evil Santa, I like it.
Wanted Imaginarium, didn't you, for your costume, something. I mean, I know Jerry Benz, I think, won first place, but didn't you finish in the contest?
AARP Batman.
Very surprisingly, I finished second as AARP Batman. So
it
was Tale of My Lawn. And I wasn't supposed to really be in it. I was just doing it for fun. And next thing you know, I'm dancing with my cane on the dance floor and announcing the winners. And they got to, you know, first runner-up, and he called my name, and I'm like, what? What? You know, and it was a lot of fun. So, AARP Batman came out of a convention that we went to up in Indiana, and the other writers were going, you know, you should dress up as somebody. I'm like, well, who would I be? AARP Batman? Can you picture me in a bodysuit? And when we heard that there was going to be the costume contest at Imaginarium, I'm like, well, people want the AARP Batman. Let's break him out. And my alter ego was a lot of fun. So I still don't know where my shoes are. That's the problem. So you have to have seen the costume to understand that comment. But I don't know where my shoes are. So
yeah, that was a lot of fun, because I remember I didn't even recognize you at first. And it just took me a few seconds to figure out who you were.
You know, Stephen, that's my secret identity. You're not supposed to be able to recognize me. You know, that's the whole point, you know. it's a lousy costume. Oh, that's Acre. That's who that is. You got to be careful there, so, you know. But, no, but it was a lot of fun, and I had a great time emceeing the event. And you put on a wonderful event with Imaginarium. And as the years go on, it's only going to get bigger and better. So we're really fired up about the upcoming year for Imaginarium.
Yeah, hopefully we can show snow snakes in the Fell Festival, Eric, and get talked to you about yet.
Okay, I wonder how I can dress up as a snow snake. No, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So, but the,
this film is going to have a cult following in no time.
Yeah. I appreciate y'all having me on. And again, please keep in mind that Authors Fair, April 2nd and 3rd, at the Armory in Madison, Indiana. I must now run off and do fatherly duties and help get youngins ready
for
bed.
For you then.
No, the fireball's coming really soon.
Authors Fair.
Yeah. So, hey, Mike and Eric and Steve, y'all have a great evening. And I'll catch up with you guys soon.
You too, Daddy.
Right, bye-bye.
That was fun. That was awesome. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, the Authors Fair, Madison, Indiana. The baby, the great Frank Hall, that has grown up magnificently since his first year. And I've been to every one and watched it grow, and it's just gotten bigger and better every year. And an event with 50 authors and thousands of used books is better than an event with 50 books and thousands of used authors.
This is true.
No, it's the Armory though is awesome, and it's a really good indoor venue, big open floor area, and Frank does have like panel programming and things like that go on, and you know they will this year for 2 days, and the parking is really easy to work with, free parking, really easy to navigate. It's not a hard place to find if you're driving in from out of town. It's very friendly event for folks if they're coming in and haven't ever been to either Madison or the Authors Fair before. It's not a crazy event, so. Definitely check it out. So,
well, the speaking of crazy events, as I said, 1 month from tomorrow, I'll be at Florahound Weekend in Cincinnati, which is always an amazing time. And the guests include Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, And several members of the cast of The Walking Dead, some members of the cast of The Shining.
And Michael West. And Michael West.
And me, yes, I'll be there. Paul Sorvino from Goodfellas and Repo will be there.
He's a Krav Maga practitioner, too. He practices Krav Maga, I believe, I think. It's either him or James Gandolfini. It's one of those two guys. I just can't remember off the top of my head, but. Yeah, I'm not sure which one, but yeah, I have to give you a shout out if it is him. But who else is on
cool.
the list for the snubs there?
Oh man, there's Mick Garris, writer and creator of Masters of Horror, and also did Stephen King's miniseries version of The Shining. He did Sleepwalkers. We've done a bunch of stuff. They're going to have the cast of MTV's Scream TV series, a couple of Jasons, Kane Hodder and Ari Lehman will be there.
Cool.
China, for those interested in wrestling.
Oh my God, I haven't heard from her in a long time. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, she Ted Raimi, who was in Drag Me to Hell and The Grudge, and was Henrietta in the basement in Evil Dead 2.
That's cool.
He's going to be there, but it's always
always a great time. Nick Castle, who was the original Michael Myers and also directed The Last Starfighter, which is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, my God, me too. Yeah.
Love that one. But yeah, so that's a wonderful three-day event there in Cincinnati at the Sharonville Convention Center.
Yeah, it's a spot, too.
Yeah, we always have a good time. It's always great to get out and meet my faithful readers and initiate new people to the fold. but
the question I have for you, though, Michael, is what do you do with your unfaithful readers?
All my readers are faithful.
Oh, that's the question I've always wanted to ask you, because I know you've always focused on your faithful readers.
Under legal advice, I must push him not to answer that question.
The my readers can read other authors. I just don't want to know about it.
We have to watch other mediums. Like they can watch Snow Snakes and not get in trouble. Then,
right.
The good thing about other mediums,
I hope you guys have seen Deadpool.
I have not. I am so woefully behind on theater stuff. Oh my God, I'm behind on movies.
What, Steven? You're supposed to watch it for me.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing.
It's probably the most fun you'll have at the movies in many a year. It's a laugh riot from the first frame to the very end. It's just amazing.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm way behind on my movies right now, unfortunately, except for Snow Snakes. I have seen that. Everything else. God, I haven't even seen The Revenant yet. I've not even seen it's that bad.
Oh
God, I know.
The Revenant was made for you.
I know. It's killing me, too.
It's awesome. I did actually see that one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, everybody else.
That's
me, evidently.
the camera work in that movie is just amazing.
Yeah.
It's based on true story.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah. If Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't win an Oscar for this, he's never going to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not said lightly by Mr. West, because he's quite the film connoisseur. So that's not a light statement by you, sir. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing this movie.
Well, I would love to see Mad Max win for Best Picture, but if Mad Max doesn't take it, if the Revenant wins, I'll be happy.
Just for the guitar guy alone in that movie. That was so metal. It was ridiculous.
God. See, Mad Max is one of those, you know, it's just so wildly original. You know, I mean, my mother who loved Road Warrior. She hated Road Warrior when we were first watching Road Warrior, because she's like, does anybody talk in this movie? but eventually she came around to like it. But she was like going, you know, all this stuff's going on and they don't explain anything. And I said, they don't need to explain it. You know, it's like when you walk in to a situation, you know, that's going on, do they stop and say, okay, here's everything that's happened up until now? You know, it's like you discover stuff as you go along, and it's just so inventive.
Yeah,
and the fact that
too.
And the fact that all those vehicles, I mean, they were real and they worked, you know, it's just an amazing achievement.
It was just so funny when it came out, because I had so many friends get a hold of me and they were like, Steven, you will love this. This movie is so heavy metal. It's so heavy metal. It's made for you. And I got that like independently from like several different friends of mine. And I was like, yeah, I got to see this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It really was. It was awesome.
Well, that was when Fright Rags came out with a shirt for the Doof Warrior. It's like I was like, you know, minute one it became available, I had it ordered, because it was they did a shirt that was in the style of an Iron Maiden cover, but it was the Doof Warrior.
Yeah.
And
it's
awesome. Just beautiful. Yeah. You've got a guy, you know, whose guitar is his weapon. You know, I mean, you got a guitar that has knives on the end of it and shoots fire. I mean, that's you can't get much more heavy metal than that.
I tell you something I really like about the Mad Max films is that the villain from. The original films is the same actor played the villain in
right.
the new movies. I really liked it because
yeah.
it was like keeping the same troupe of actors working.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in the interest of accuracy, I just wanted to look this up really quick, but it was actually James Gandolfini that was the Krav Maga practitioner, not Sorvino. So I just wanted to correct
okay.
that for our listeners. Yeah. So
all right.
Just make sure that we at the Star Chamber Show always give you correct information.
We don't need the Fox News fact check to scroll.
I just want to be sure about that. You know, just so our listening audience knows, we try to do due diligence with our massive budget, where I actually have to fact check myself here instead of our department. Do we have a fact check department yet? I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't know. That's Amanda.
Yeah, that's Amanda. Get Amanda on it. Oh man, that's too funny.
She did her homework on Sherpa. That's for sure. I had we had long detailed discussions about whether or not you capitalize Sherpa.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that. Yeah, that was definitely. Well, yeah, editors can be diligent. Yeah.
Yes. She is that. She.
Yeah, you'd rather have a diligent editor than a not diligent editor.
That's right.
Good enough.
Especially now that Amazon's going to, like, you know, start pulling books that have too many spelling errors, you know.
Oh, wow. Actually, I missed that story. Is that true? I mean, we don't.
Oh, you
missed that? Thankfully, we don't.
Yeah, but no, there's a new thing in place where they're trying to, like, weed out, I guess, all the self-pub books that are, like, riddled with errors.
The stuff that just kind of gets flung up there. Well, that's
right.
Good, because that'll give more attention to the good self-published authors that go through the whole process.
Right. But yeah, it's like if you get, if you you can upload, you know, they tell you about it, I guess, and then you can upload corrections, but if your book is such that it's got so many errors that it's unreadable, then they start yanking it down.
and there actually is a need for that, unfortunately. But that's good because that's the kind of reading experience that causes people not to buy independent small press and self-published books because they have bad experiences with that kind of stuff. So that's kind of good.
I read a review once of someone's book, and I'm not going to name names, but they basically said that, you know, I'm an English teacher, and I can say that I guess technically on some level this qualifies as a book.
Yeah.
but it has no sense of language or structure or you know, just went on and on and on. I just was like, oh. I'm sure the author felt, you know, like 2 inches tall when they read that.
Yeah, there's definitely some rough stuff that gets kind of flung up there, though. I mean, it's definitely, it's a frustrating thing, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
Because it does cause problems. But that's interesting.
But,
I actually did not know Amazon is cracking on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it started or when it starts, but there were some stories about that late last year that was going to come into play.
I think it was going to start running their programs and stuff to do it last Monday. It could have been a Monday before, but they've started their process of just going through everything already.
Okay. Well, we've never had that. We don't have anything to worry about.
The only authors I think would have a problem, I mean, the only good authors that would have a problem would be the folks who write a lot of fantasy and have, like, these really strange fantasy names for lands and stuff, so.
Well, that's what I was wondering about that because, you know, I mean, if you come up with, like, words that, you know, for things in another, you know, planet or another realm or whatnot, and the computer algorithm they have says, you know, this word is misspelled or this is a nonsense word, you know, like, I mean, spell check. I mean, if you call somebody Ragnaroth or whatever, you know, and spell check, you know, would underline it in red or whatever and say this is, you know, misspelled, but that's your fantasy name, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how that would work.
I bet they have an appeal kind of thing. I'm sure they do. We can maybe get like a real person to, you know, appeal that to. I'm sure they would. Because you're right. I mean, yeah, for fantasy, especially invented language stuff and all. Yeah, I mean, they definitely would. Or people that
write
in dialect kind
people
of.
People who write in Japanese, so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it would. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. So, but yeah, just in general.
People who have a lot of italics.
Oh! Why do I always think R.J. Sullivan immediately? Whenever the word italics comes up, I think R.J. Sullivan, which will give a shout out to him. I know he's starting up the Two Towers podcast with John Allen here shortly, and that'll be a fun pop culture-y kind of podcast, and I love the J.R.R. Tolkien reference with the Two Towers. It's kind of neat. But yeah, I hope we got to get RJ on the show at some point here to hang out with us. He's a character.
Very cool.
But yeah, he has a lot of italics. That's for sure. Josh Leith, current editor, suffering through that. Yeah, because RJ has his new Red Lotus compendium coming up, which is going to be fantastic, but I guarantee you we'll have a lot of italics. So. And RJ knows that I razz him all the time about this, so I'm not being mean. this is normal Steven with RJ. Oh, man, he's a character. I hope he can. I hope he's at Mother's Fair, too. I don't know who else will be there. But we've got 60 seconds to go, so any final concluding statements by you guys?
Well, my cover art was just released on our last Star Chamber show for the upcoming novel, book number 3, Legacy of the Gods, Zeus's Warriors. Which will be out later this year. It is moving forward, and per the pre-readers, it's good stuff. So I'm hopeful that I'll have it in the hands of actual readers very shortly. And as we said earlier in this broadcast, my short story Ave Santani will be in the Real Dark anthology, I guess, in April.
Mm-hmm. Watch Snowsnake at gertrude.com.
and watch Snow Snakes. Yes. So, readers, of course, can find me at on Twitter and Facebook, and at bymichaelwest.com, bymichaelwest.com.
Well, have a good night, everybody. Thank you, Eric, for joining us.
Well, where's your link, Stephen?
Take care, everybody. Have a good night.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
It's